All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. You could also follow my co-host, Chris Thornton, at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Hello, we're almost there. It's almost draft night, my friends.
We are almost there, guys. We are less than a week away. Thank the Lord. Thank God Almighty. But since the draft is so close, we are going to be presenting you guys with a full first round podcast mock draft. And joining us to get this done, we have Locked On NFL host Matt Williamson, former scout for Pittsburgh for 3 years, Akron for one, and the Browns for one, was with ESPN for 10 years, and is now one of the biggest guys up at our network, Locked On Sports. Matt, how you doing?
I am fantastic, and I mentioned this yesterday on my Twitter Thursday show, and I got a big response from my audience. Hey, I love the joint shows you do. I'm excited to get you on Locked On Jags. A mock draft will be fun doing it live. I also wanted to mention to your listeners that if they haven't checked it out, I started my own website, williamsonfootball.com. I urge you to check that out. There's a State of the Jaguars address up there now. It's about 2,000 words. It's good stuff. I'll make sure I send it to you guys as well. So let's get this rolling. And just to kind of clear it up, we're going to take kind of an approach to this is what we would do as GMs, but be realistic too, that, we're not going to go super outlandish with our picks, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there's we I don't think any of us really like the idea of Josh Allen in the first round, but at the same time, that's
He's
not what's going
going.
to happen. Yeah,
Correct.
he's going first round. Exactly.
And there's no trades, so people are going to listen to this and be like, why is this quarterback still on the board in the top, at 12? He'll go earlier than that. And yes, he will. But because of trade, there is no trades. It's going to skew where these guys go. But you'll still get the idea. And we're still thinking as if we're the GM of these respective teams.
Exactly. And what we're going to be doing with this draft is we're going to be rotating every pick. So Matt will have the first pick, followed by Chris with the second, and myself with the third. Flip right back to Matt and go through that cycle until we finish it out. So with that being said, Matt Williamson, GM of the Cleveland Browns, you are now on the clock.
Yeah, and I'm going to be on the clock again at four. It just works out that way that I'm getting both brownie picks here.
Yeah.
And to me, the best two players, the best two prospects in this draft are Quentin Nelson and Saquon Barkley. But they're not needs. I think this pick has to be a quarterback to keep it realistic. I do think in the real world, it's down to Darnold or Allen. I'll take Darnold here.
All right, so Sam Darnold goes first overall and is walking across the stage and hugging Roger Goodell. The Giants are now on the clock, and the Giants are in an interesting situation because I feel like there's like three or four different ways that they could go. And I'm going to go with, I guess, one of the, I'm not going to say flashy because draft Twitter won't like this. I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley at two. Get them that running back, maybe one last hurrah and one more weapon for Eli, and they probably end up going quarterback next year. But they're going to go with Saquon, who's deemed by a lot the best prospect in this draft.
And now with Saquon Barkley going to the NFC side of New York, I will be picking on the AFC side of New York with the Jets in the third overall pick. They too, like Cleveland and like a lot of teams in this draft, are in need of a quarterback. I'm going to go with the guy that is being very much rumored to be the Jets' future starter, and that is the one, the only Baker Mayfield.
Both make perfect sense to me. As the Browns GM again, I was happy to see Barkley go at two because to me, this is an easy pick. I take Chubb, I line him up opposite Garrett, hopefully for the next 12 years and wreak havoc on opposing passers. But I do think in the real world, if Chubb goes two, I think the Browns are in a bit of a pickle. Barkley or another quarterback or Nelson, I don't think they make a ton of sense. So I was happy that Chubb was still available.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. My buddy made a great point to me recently about how if they take a quarterback at one and Barkley at four, who's the focal point of the offense coming from this draft with such premium picks being used on two very clear top-tier weapons? So it'd be an interesting dynamic to say the least.
Yeah, no doubt.
And now
Chris, then you're up with Denver.
We go to Denver, and they're kind of in a, will they take a quarterback, will they not, will they trade out? I think they'll end up trading out on actual draft night with probably Buffalo, or Cleveland, if that matter, if they get their quarterback. And let's say Chubb is gone and somebody trades to New York, whatever. But I think at Denver, I think they're going to probably roll with Case Keenum this year. So I'm going to go with who my consensus number one overall prospect in the draft is, and I'm going to take Quentin Nelson, fortify that O-line.
I like it.
I like that too, and that puts Indianapolis on the clock. They need help in a lot of places, and Quentin Nelson was going to be my pick if he was not taken at five, but now that he is gone, I go on. The edge position is a big need for the Indianapolis Colts, and there's a lot of people that really like this guy. There's a lot of people that don't really like him as well as the rest of the edge class. I really like Harold Landry out of Boston College, and I think this could be a surprise pick at number six for the Colts. I'm taking him.
Yeah, because of the way this is structured, I have no problem with that pick. I mean, do I think Landry's going to go that early? Absolutely not. You know, you could probably trade down four or five and get him, but there's no edge pass rushers in this class, and they absolutely need it. So I'm cool with that.
Right.
I got the Bucs here, and I think the Bucs, like the Colts, would love to see a couple quarterbacks go early so that Nelson or Barkley or Chubb or somebody like that falls to them, but it doesn't really work out in this case. So I'm going to take who I think is the best defensive player in the entire draft, keep Derwin James in Florida.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
I like it. Well, then going with defensive backs, I'm going to go with another very highly coveted, versatile defensive back. And Chicago needs help in the corner or in the secondary. And this guy can play corner. This guy can play safety. I'm going to go with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Gotta like that.
I like that a lot. And then at number nine, especially considering the recent accusations against Foster in San Francisco. There's no guarantee that he'll ever have a future in the NFL again. The 49ers need help at linebacker without Foster being gone, but even with him being gone, that makes it an even bigger need. Therefore, I have them taking Roquan Smith, inside linebacker from Georgia.
Yeah, and I would have taken Smith here at 10 for the Raiders. Considering Edmonds, I would have loved to have seen James fall. But I'm going to go with Ward. They need another corner for sure. That's back-to-back Ohio State corners in the first round year after year for the Raiders. But defensive backs are at a premium. I'll take Ward here.
And now Miami's on the clock, and they still – they're whether they think they want Tannehill or not, I think they're en route to move on from Tannehill. And there's a guy named Josh Rosen still on the board here at 11, and I'm going to pull the trigger on probably the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft.
And I really like that Rosen pick. I think having him there competing with Tannehill, like you said, I don't think Tannehill is going to be in the long-term future. But even as a guy to push him early, maybe let him sit for a little bit, could be something that could happen. Then I have quarterback following after Miami's pick. I have another quarterback going, a guy that, like I said at the start of the show, I don't really see as a first-round player. NFL teams do. The idea is that the Buffalo Bills might see this guy as a guy they would even trade up for, and that being Josh Allen, quarterback from Wyoming.
Yeah, I know none of us love Josh Allen, but I think you have to put him in there to make the mock flow as it should. Bills would get to end up with a quarterback. That all makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I am back, and I got the Skins at 13. Their run defense has been a major problem for a while now. I really like Allen, who they drafted in the first round, as an upfield guy, but I think Vita Vea next to him would go a long way to shoring up this defense. I'm gladly taking him at 13.
That's a great value right there. I think that's probably, I would say it's probably what his oh, I'm trying to think of the right word. I think that's probably the highest he'll go, right? 13?
Earliest, you mean?
Yeah, earliest. Yeah, I'll go with
that. Yeah, I think
that's best word.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Now we're going to Lambeau Field, and they need some help on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary. I'm going to go with, there's a few corners on the board. This guy's kind of been, I've seen him mock there a lot. I've seen him rumored to go there a lot. I'm personally not as high on him, but I'm going to go with Joshua Jackson to the Green Bay Packers.
You got a cornerback going to the Green Bay Packers, a big need for him. They had to bring back Devon House on another one-year deal. Us Jaguars fans know a lot about Devon House. You can tell right there that that's not the greatest value. Then we move on to the Arizona Cardinals. I think they just miss out in this case on getting the quarterback that they want, unless they would take a flyer on Lamar Jackson. But just based off Jackson's hype so far, I don't think he's going to end up breaking the top 15, in which case I have them going online just to try and protect the oft injured Sam Bradford as much as they can, considering he would be their starting quarterback. I have them taking Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas.
Yeah, I can't argue that at all. They absolutely need to go. They have to almost take best offensive player available through the whole draft.
Right.
And I think the Ravens do too. And I bet Ozzie Newsome's going, man, I'd love Tremaine Edmonds, or there's a lot of other defensive backs and these men that are exciting. But I think he has to resist that temptation, help defense. An offensive lineman just went off the board. I consider going that direction. But let's keep it Bama or go with Ridley and help the wide receiver core. Maybe they can actually help, you know, actually draft a wide receiver of note.
Now, with Ridley off the board, the Chargers are going to have to go. They got a wide receiver last year, so I think they're going to go into fortifying that O-line to really protect Phillip Rivers in probably one of his last few years, and also keep opening up holes for Melvin Ingram. And I'm going to go with one of the best offensive tackles still on the board in Mike McGlinchey out of Notre Dame.
All right, now we are on to the Seattle Seahawks. And with the offseason they've had, you know, they could go a lot of different ways. They've let a lot of guys go, including Richard Sherman, trading away Michael Bennett. They could add a couple of weapons for Russell Wilson, as I think with him just getting over 30 years old, I think they're going to try and rebuild that offense. But, I mean, I think they want to make one more run with him in the near future, so that's why they're starting from scratch. I think they replicate what they did last time in building a young, really nasty defense. And I don't know if this would be kind of a surprise pick or not after people projected him to start falling after a reported combine heart issue, but he seems to be cleared from it. I have them taking Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
I love that pick. I think that's really a Pete Carroll move. You said it well. You know, they want all shapes and sizes with their pass rushers or defensive linemen. He's the best pass rushing defensive tackle in this draft. Makes perfect sense. Dallas, they need to find a Witten replacement. They need to find a Dez replacement. I'm going to go with DJ Moore. It might be a little early for him, but the need is just so great that I think that has to be the pick.
Yeah, I really like that. Now, I really like a wide receiver going there. There's a few, some people have deemed, I think it's too early for him, but Mark Andrews as the Jason Witten, like, part two. So it'd probably be interesting. Dallas would probably try to snag him in the second round. Now we're going to Detroit, the place where running backs do not have 100-yard games. I believe their last 100-yard rusher was, like, in 2011 with Reggie Bush. So they're due. And I'm going to take probably the second best, some even think it's the first best running back in the draft, in Darius Geis out of LSU.
And that moves us on to the Cincinnati Bengals. And they are picking with the 21st pick after trading for Cordy Glenn from the Buffalo Bills. That moved the Bills up to the 12th pick. They've got a couple needs here as well. They're still trying to add to that defense as it's gotten up in age. They could, even after trading for Cordy Glenn, they could really use more offensive line. I think they go Billy Price, center out of Ohio State. He's a utility guy that's scheme universal. He's a nasty blocker. I think he'd be a great fit there, that you can plug him in along the interior.
Certainly in need. Their center position has been a problem for a long time. The way this worked out really favored Buffalo twice. They're at 22 right now. The quarterback fell to them without them having to trade up, because we're not allowed to trade. And this is really the Carolina Panthers of the North. If you think about their front office or coach, how they want to be built. And no team in the league values second-level defenders more than the Panthers. You look at the Bills linebackers right now, it's a disaster. And, oh, by the way, Tremaine Edmonds is still on the board for some reason. the 22nd pick. So the Bills luck out again, and they'll take him.
And now we go to the New England Patriots, where they're starting to get each offseason a little bit more and more commotion. The Patriots acquired this pick from the Rams by trading Brandon Cooks, and they got the 23rd pick. And the Patriots are starting to get some their list is starting to get a little long for needs. And I think they're going to go corner early. And I think they're going to be deciding between Jair Alexander or Mike Hughes. And I'm going to pull the trigger on Jair Alexander here at 23.
And that moves us to the Carolina Panthers. They are in need of playmakers big time. I couldn't tell you anyone that plays wide receiver for them at this point other than, what, Devin Funchess, maybe? It's just not – it's not good. It's not helping Cam whatsoever, and I think we're seeing that Cam is hurting. I saw a quote today that I think it was all 32 teams that all have 32 different rankings to rank the receivers. No one really knows exactly how great this receiver class is or who the best prospect is. I've got them going with a true playmaker out of SMU, and that being Cortland Sutton. He makes some of the most acrobatic plays in this draft at the receiver position. He's big-bodied at 6'3". I think that it'd help Cam Newton out a lot in drafting a playmaking receiver like Sutton.
He certainly fits their mold. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the big catching radius that you want from Newton, who isn't all that accurate. I'm up now with the Titans, and they're always a tough one. I mean, I think they'd love to get a guy like Harold Landry. Of course, he didn't come close to falling, you know, to groom as an edge rusher. Thought about Davenport to do that. But to me, because they don't have a ton of needs, I'm just going to take what I think is the best player on the board by a pretty wide margin. And that's Taven Bryan from Florida. He's very, very raw, but right away he could just line up next to Jarrell Casey, rush the passer, really help the pass rush that way until he learns things, move him all over the line of scrimmage. He's got immense abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Titans are kind of weird because you never really know what they're gonna do. Now I'm kind of left in a pickle here with Atlanta because they really need defensive tackle help, and a lot of the top guys are gone now. But
I bet Brian was your pick.
Yeah, I was laying Brian on there. I was hoping, but
DeRon Payne's still out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with DeRon Payne. He's the best available defensive tackle. They really need to shore up that D line, especially against the run game. So DeRon Payne is going from Alabama to Atlanta, so not too far of a commute.
Now, I'm curious as to what the Saints will do. They've added Cam Meredith at receiver, so although he wasn't healthy this past year, I don't think receiver is as much a first-round need, especially with Michael Thomas in-house. That'll never really hurt you. Kobe Fleener hasn't really worked out too well and as an answer at tight end. And I like receiver. I'm really curious to see how tight ends kind of play out in this draft. You don't know if there's going to be a run on them in the late first. You don't know if the first one's going second round. It's weird because no one seems to be that true, complete tight end. I think the closest thing to it is probably Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina. And yes, he is a little older. Whether that makes him more pro ready or not, I'm not sure. But he has experience in other professional leagues, being the minor leagues of the MLB. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. But he's got real sticky hands. He's a pretty good blocker. I think he's a guy that would fit there as an all-around tight end that they can play with Kobe Fleener there and eventually, you know, develop into their tight end number one.
So I'm up now with the Steelers. I don't know if you guys did this to me on purpose or not, because I'm in Pittsburgh. I work for Steeler Nation Radio. I'll be at the Steelers facility, I think, for like 18 hours throughout the course of the draft, broadcasting, and we'll bring Kevin Colbert and all those people out. So that's always a blast. And Steeler Nation, I can tell you, is keeping their fingers crossed that either Evans or Vander Esch falls to them at 28. And they're both there in this draft, which I don't think will happen in the real world. And I'm torn. I'm going to go with Evans. I just think he's the more explosive player, the better pass rusher, can maybe line him up on the edge. But that's a tough call. I mean, Steeler Nation would be really happy if they had those choice of those two guys.
Mm-hmm. And now I am with the Jaguars pick, so it works out for both of us. But if you think me being a Jaguars fan knows what we're going to do at 29, you are mistaken. Because they have played free agency like a fiddle. They have
I know what filled, I would do right now.
They have filled their gaps perfectly, but I'm going to go with my homer pick, the pick that I've been pounding the table for the past few months. I'm not a fan of moving guards from the left side to the right side, but I think Will Hernandez is good enough to do that. Phil Savage agrees. I'm going to go with it. Will Hernandez mauling guard to fortify that Jags run-first offense.
I really like that pick. I, like Chris, have been pounding the table for that for a while. If they go offensive line and Hernandez is there, I don't see how you don't pull the trigger. He and Andrew Norwell are 100% going to be Leonard Fournette's best friends in the near future. And the Minnesota
Vikings. I got to interject here, guys.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a Jags podcast. I love Will Hernandez. Before they signed Norwell, I've been saying that's the perfect pick for them, and it would really complete the offensive line. But I would lose my mind if I was a Jags fan and Lamar Jackson got passed on by Jacksonville.
Now,
I'm a huge Jackson fan, and I think Bortles is junk. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. I, for the longest time, since going back to last year's draft with Deshaun Watson, pounded the table for Deshaun Watson. I would love Lamar Jackson or Baker or Josh Rosen in a hypothetical world if the Jaguars were picking higher. I just don't see that as the plan for the Jags, which I think is unfortunate. And
I don't think the Jags front office likes Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and that might be true.
Right. I feel like this team really wants to win running the ball with Blake Bortles. And unfortunately, I guess this is kind of early for me to say this, but I might be projecting a little bit of a regression this year. Not necessarily because the talent won't be there, but it's hard to ask that defense to repeat exactly what they did last year. Teams might find the deficiencies in Bortles and game plan against the run. But hopefully, if they do keep Bortles, that they go best. You know, if Hernandez is there and really, really try and solidify this run game as a top five run game in the NFL. But I would take Jackson in a heartbeat if I knew that that was a true possibility for them.
I think Fournette might like running behind the line he had last year, plus Norwell and Hernandez. Holy
yeah,
shit.
That would be.
Yeah, imagine first in, or like third and goal on the one with that O line.
Right. Talk about running over my Steelers again.
Yeah. Which, by the way, got announced for Sunday Night Football. I'm incredibly excited for that. My family is all Steelers fans from Pittsburgh, so I cannot wait to take them and sit them in my section filled with Jags fans.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. And at your place. My best friend, actually, is a huge Steelers fan. He's lived in Jacksonville for the last 20 years, so he'll be down there, too.
Awesome. Well, that'll move me to the Minnesota Vikings pick. I have the 29 and 30th pick, double dipping on offensive line. Even though the Vikings could go a couple of places, they really don't have a ton of needs other than the offensive line needs help. And he's a bit undersized. People are wondering if he'll, because of his size, play guard or if he's a better fit at tackle. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia is a truly dominant offensive lineman, however, and he can fit right in with the Minnesota Vikings and be a big upgrade really wherever they try and put him.
Yeah, I think the Vikings would do cartwheels to get Wynn at 30. I mean, that's exactly what they need. Plug him in at guard, tackle in a pinch. There's a lot of options for me here with my last pick at 31 for the Patriots. The three guys I'm looking at are Van Der Esch. You know, line him up next to the Hightower. Give them some athleticism and size on the second level. Davenport, who I'm not that big on, but the Patriots never have a chance to draft one of the better pass rushers in the league. But the guy I'm going to go with is my favorite tight end in this draft, and that's Dallas Goedert. They play a ton of double tight end sets, as people know. He would play with Gronk and eventually succeed him.
I like that pick a lot, yeah, actually.
Being able to groom under Gronk and then replace him, that's a Patriots dream right there. And now I'm left with the Eagles, and they lost their second and third string tight ends. So really all they have is Zach Ertz. They could use another wide receiver, another running back. They have a lot of possibilities to go. And I'm looking at Leighton Van Der Esch right now, but there's also a guy on the offensive line that's still sitting there that I don't think will fall this far, and his name is Frank Ragnow. I don't know how he's still there. This is a tough one. I'm going to pull the trigger. They went defense really heavy in free agency, but I think they're going to keep that defensive train rolling. I'm going to go with Leighton Van Der Esch.
And that right there closes out the first round. like we said, it's not really the most realistic because there will be trades. However, I do feel like this is a really good representation of teams and their needs, and then a mix of, you know, how we feel about certain prospects. So great job to both of you GMs.
Yeah, it was fun.
And thanks, Matt, for coming on the show. We are going to be pumping this out over the next couple of days. You know, I feel like pod mock drafts are always fun, spur of the moment, like keeps the suspense going. So everyone be sure to throw Matt a follow at Williamson NFL. Matt, go ahead and give us a last plug for you and where everyone can find your work.
Yeah, and not to brag or anything, but I'm sure a lot of people do follow me on Twitter at Williamson NFL. I've been doing this like for almost 20 years now. And I really urge you to check out the website at williamsonfootball.com. It's only been up and running for about 2 weeks, but it's good stuff, I got to admit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to everyone, definitely check that out. All the state of the franchises are really good things to check out. I've checked out a couple of them. I need to see this Jaguars one as well, so I'm very much looking forward to you sending that over my way. But that'll just about do it for us. Thank you guys for joining the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and we will catch up with you guys next week.